Blog Talk Radio.
First floor, last week's news and entertainment. Second floor, tonight, the luxury suite. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, wrestling personified Rick Luxury, coming to you from a shut-in California. You know, it's funny, sitting back and thinking about all the wrestling I've watched as a kid growing up and as an adolescent into adulthood, I just get this thing while we're in California ringing in my head. It's Hulk Hogan's old WWF theme song. When it comes crashing down and you're shut inside. Well, the lyrics go something like that, but for those of you that heard that, you can relate, especially with all this shut-in that we're in here in the state of California and the rest of the United States. But as the weeks transpire, so does life. So tonight in the luxury suite, I'm here to talk about what's going on. We're in the midst of WrestleMania weekend, or at least what was supposed to be WrestleMania weekend. I mean, sure, we still have the network. We're still going to get the matches that we expected to get with a couple of substitutions because performers tend to choose their right to stay at home. But I'm not going to let that damper the festivities. It's not going to be the same, but it is going to be WrestleMania. One way or another, it might not be like what we're used to, but we are going to get that wrestling that we crave. But sometimes sport professional wrestling is disappointing. And the truth of the matter is I'm about to maybe disappoint a few people. See, tonight at the Luxury Suite, I want to talk about what it takes to be a professional wrestler. And I'm not a superstar, guys. I'm just an average guy that had a dream and followed what I wanted to do to the fullest. Granted, you know, I haven't been to the WWE or made a $1 million contract, but I've been up and down the roads. I've been in car loads with the boys. I've traveled, stayed in hotels, paid my dues, put up rings, sacrificed, and trained. And that's where some people might be a little disappointed in tonight's luxury suite, is that I'm going to discuss what it takes to professional wrestler, at least in my opinion. And it might not be the same account for everybody, but this is my opinion, guys. And the way I look at the world of professional wrestling is right now we are too convoluted in that anybody can purchase a wrestling ring. Anybody can have money to pay for a venue. Insurance just needs the correct wording to give you what you need to run a show. And any Joe Schmo or Jane Schmo can run a professional wrestling show, company, promotion, without really paying their dues or understanding the wrestling business. And this comes to be because a lot of wrestlers do not pay their dues. A lot of wrestlers don't put in the time, work, and effort that it takes to become a professional wrestler, yet certain promoters will book them. And it's the shame of the game, as much as it is the name of the game, to get in there and work the system so that you could work on shows. You see, I have a lot of friends that went through this the right way. They paid their dues. They started as security. They started as ring crew. They started as janitors. They tore tickets. They sold merch. They sold concessions. They were humbled, and they were respected because they respected the business. And they went about things the correct way. They went to training at a credible training school, wherever it may be. I'm not saying that there's just one credible training school. There's wrestling training schools all across the nation. Up and down each and every state, you could find somewhere to wrestle. Now, is it credible? Well, I mean, how many carnival games did you play growing up that claimed to be credible? See, wrestling derived from carnies. And some of these promotions are ran by carnies, ran by a bunch of schmucks who just see a quick buck in the professional wrestling entertainment. The fact of the matter is it's guys like that that will book talent that took the easy way out, turned a cheap corner just to be able to perform. You see, I know a lot of people that busted their teeth, bones, their spirits, just to be able to lace up those boots and get in the ring and have someone respect them enough to tell them they're credible workers. And the problem with the game today, and this is where somebody's going to get their feelings hurt, is that too many guys will start training somewhere, credible or not, and the minute that a promoter or a friend of a friend who does me a favor, brother, gets them a booking somewhere, and they get a little bit of momentum, like, hey, you know, that kid showed up, and he did good. You tell him to come to the next show, and you get another promoter there or someone else who has a ring or someone else who has a connection with something and goes, hey, man, we're really cool with each other. You know, I kind of like you. Hey, I got a show going on, you know. Come work for me. And these guys are coming in, and they're working for peanuts. And they're not fully trained. And they start getting bookings, and then they stop going to training. They abandon their training school, or they stay with it, but they're just so busy with life. They're so busy with life that other things are going on that they just can't make training. But they can always make the shows. That's the thing that always shocks me is the guys that can never make a training session are the same guys that can make every single show. And they're also the same guys that show up to said show past call time, a little late, shake everybody's hand, but kind of show their face that they're really just in it for themselves. I mean, this is an individual sport, but it's also a team effort. And those people are what tarnish this business, in my belief. It's not just a professional wrestling business. This is all life forms. You know, there's people that take shortcuts in life, and there's people that know how to take shortcuts to be successful. But there's a lot of people that just take shortcuts because it's the lazy, easy thing to do. And I'm not even trying to get started on the this is a body business and everyone needs to be in the gym and pump weights and that, because some of the guys that are on top don't have bodies. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys that are working with AEW and that aren't 6'6" and jacked out of their mind because they lift weights and eat steaks every single day of their life. The fact of the matter is the game has changed in that aspect. But it hasn't changed as far as it takes to tune your craft, to show the respect, you know, the wiping of the feet, the shaking of the hand. A lot of people say, oh, that's getting old. Like, why do I have to do that? It's respect. Beyond anything else, it's respect. The reason that you do those things is to show respect to the people that paved the way for you, the people that you are in the business with currently, and the kids coming up in the business that are going to come up after you. It's just forms of respect. And too many kids are just going through the motions, and there's no truth behind what they're doing. They just shake the hand because they were told they had to. They don't do it because of respect. They come in late because, well, they're not wrestling until 7, so why be here at 5? They don't sell tickets because you're already booking them. So why should they sell a single ticket to anybody? Because you're already going to pay them. Even if they're lowballing someone else who's put their time and effort in, they're on the show. And they're not going to do anything to make you any money. And the problem is there's too many of these people running around. They're in every single state, every promotion, anywhere I've ever gone, you could see them. They never put the time and effort to get into an actual full-functioning training where they could be a graduate of somewhere and their trainers be proud that they train that guy and send him on his way. I mean, this business isn't made for a trainer to go, okay, I trained you, kid, now you have to stay by my side. We're supposed to be trainers, train these kids and let them go on their way. But too many of these kids aren't being let go. They're running as fast as they can to try and achieve something that all they're really doing is watering down the product for the fans. They're watering down the product for the people that believe in professional wrestling. They're watering down the product for the guys that paved the way for them or put in the time and effort. Now, granted, maybe they're doing all the cool moves that everybody's like, oh, look at that guy with that slap of the leg, you know, when he kicked that guy in the face, or, man, he slapped his leg really hard when he punched him. Man, that guy slapped his leg on that drop kick. That was the loudest drop kick I've ever heard. Now, maybe they're not saying you're slapping a leg, but come on, guys, you are. I mean, you slapped a leg on a super kick? Tell me this. Why does a super kick, a drop kick, a punch, a forearm, a big boot, and a headbutt all sound like a chop? Because you're slapping your leg to get the sound effect. And I'm sorry, but this isn't some 1970s kung fu action show where every punch has to be a wham, pow, bap, blam. It's pro wrestling. In a real fight, you don't hear those things. And this is what happened is the same people that weren't fulfilling their obligations to be trained as professional wrestlers are the same guys that go out there and incorporated slapping the leg to make an extra sound, and it traveled. I mean, yeah, you guys are going to be like, oh, someone's sitting on their couch right now eating a bag of Cheetos going, oh, AJ Styles makes that sound. He picked it up from somewhere. Guys like AJ Styles that might slap the leg on occasion and that, they're not the creators of it, guys. Hell, you think Dwayne The Rock Johnson with his slap to the side of the neck and his slap to the thigh to make that big pop for a sold-out crowd of 10,000? You think that that's what's happening right there? You think that that is the creator right there? The Rock created the slap of the leg, and it's been going on for years. And it's cool. It makes some good moments, and the crowd reacts to it because most of the time, guys, what you don't understand is you get that reaction because the crowd is talking to the person sitting next to them, or the crowd is looking down at their phone, or they're dozing off, and that slap is what makes them raise their head up and go, what was that? And then they make a reaction to it like, oh, that guy must have hit him really hard. Too many people are on shows. And you know what? The sad thing is I can rant about this all I want. It's never going to change. Nobody's going to listen to this or listen to the millions of other people that have talked about the same situation and go, you know what? I'm going to take myself off of shows because I'm not fully trained. Or while I'm wrestling on shows, I'm going to go find myself a credible school and go and get trained properly. No one's going to do it. What needs to happen is the wrestler is not going to go, oh, man, there's a fault in my game, and somebody's calling me out on it. Maybe I should fix this. What needs to happen is promoters, bookers, you guys are the ones that have to go, you know what, man, you're not fully trained, and maybe you need to find a training school. Because when they get unplugged from the system by the people who are making the shows happen, that's where the system fixes itself. You know what? I got a bunch of lines open right now on the luxury line. You guys can give me a call. The number is 516-418-5983. That's the luxury line. When you call in, join the queue to talk to the host by pressing 1. Once I see you on here, I'll throw you in live so you can ask your questions or debate with me. If you have a problem with what I'm saying, speak your mind. Too many people have closed mouths, and I've said it for a long time. I tell my children, I tell my wife, I tell my siblings, I tell my own mother, and I tell each and every one of my students that closed mouths don't get fed. So the lines are open once again. That's 516-418-5983. 516-418-5983. That's the luxury line. Give me a call. I'll throw you in. Let's see what you got to say. So, with that said, about the problems I see in professional wrestling, with a bunch of unfully trained workers getting the credibility as pro wrestlers. Oh, we got a caller coming in. Let's see. Caller from the 415. I probably have a feeling I know who this is. So, let's see. Let me see if I'm right. Sparky Ballard. Hello.
Oh, yeah, brother. It's the marvelous Mark. Marco-mania.
Oh, it's Marco-mania. Marco, how you doing? Speaking of students that actually go through things and train hard, Mr. 4 days a week, Marco-mania training,
yes,
4 days a week at the East Bay Pro Training Academy. I know that we're on a little bit of a break right now because of this stay-at-home act going on in the state of California, but I've been putting a lot of footage out on the chat room. I've been putting seminars out, giving you guys homework, and you've been on top of it all. So what do you got to say with this whole pandemic going on? It's WrestleMania weekend. I'm talking about the problem I see with professional wrestling is too many people want to be cooks and not enough people want to be sous chefs.
Well, for me, as far as the training goes, I feel like I'm of the maturity level where I understand that, you know, when you're learning things, you want to be as much of a sponge as possible and just absorb as much information and apply as much information as you can to really hone your craft and just keep learning. Because like you told me, the minute you feel like you know everything in professional wrestling, quit, because there's always something to learn, right?
Yeah, the minute you think you know it all, get out of the business, because all you're doing is hurting the business.
Yeah, and like speaking of WrestleMania, as you know, I was supposed to be in Tampa, right? This week, I was flying out Wednesday Red Eye. I was going to be in Tampa. But the thing that I have to look forward to is, okay, you know, whatever the corona, COVID-19, the pandemic has happened. So for me, it's just a matter of watching wrestling, studying it, what's going on in the match, what's the story in the match, what's the sequence that the sequences that the wrestlers are using, right? And just taking notes and applying it. And I'm reassured that by next year when it's in Los Angeles, I'll be further along in my training. I'll be able to help out more at the shows and really be more of a fan of our industry. So that's really kind of the thing that I hold my hat on right now is, you know, hey, shit happens. Tampa's not happening this year, but that just means Los Angeles next year is going to be even more amazing.
Even bigger of a party next year for WrestleMania. Well,
absolutely.
Marco, you know what? Like I said, you're Mr. 4 days a week as far as your training goes. Thank you for calling in. You know, you're doing everything right in the right steps. Above and beyond, not just 4 days a week of training, but you also come in for private seminars. You also are you know, try to do as much as you can in the business of professional wrestling, and I appreciate you for that. I'm going to take the next caller.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Caller, you're on. Who am I speaking with?
You again.
Oh, there we go. Referee Max. How you doing, Max? Another one of my students from East Bay Pro calling in. Max came in to East Bay Pro not wanting to train as a professional wrestler, but wanting to train as a professional referee. And Max, when you came in to training, you had a hard time even, you know, with your forward roles in that. Now, Max, you're running through class 4 days a week, most of the time, hanging with the guys that are pro wrestlers. Like, you're not just taking this training is, well, I'm a referee, so I only know how to count to three and count to ten. You go through the same, you know, grueling indications that everyone else does in the ring.
Yeah, you know, I do see myself wrestling a few matches in the future, but reffing mostly.
Oh, there we go, Max.
And I hope, you know, when the storm blows over, we can get back into business, you know, because it's been a couple of weeks since I've been out of the ring, but, you know, it feels like forever.
It's rough. You know, this hasn't never happened in any of our lifetimes, something to this measure. The entire world is put on hold. It's like we're all guilty of a crime and we're being sentenced to prison. I mean, yes, I'm not saying we're all in prison, you know, for those that are in prison. I'm not saying we're all in prison, but, you know, we're shunned for walking outside to catch fresh air. I mean, and I'm not telling everyone, hey, run outside and do what you want. You should stay indoors. But to go outside and just walk your neighborhood just to stretch your legs someone could look out their window and be like, oh, look at that person. They're going to spread the virus. It's like everyone's
yep.
scared. This is a pandemic. It's nationwide. And it's affecting everything. It's affecting small business. It's affecting big business. It's affecting the airports, cruise ships, you know, big major theme parks. Pro wrestling's in the can right now. You know, this is the lowest
yep.
wrestling has ever been in the history of professional wrestling. This is worse than the Montreal screw job. This is worse than it getting spread out in the papers in the 1900s with the fact that wrestling's phony. You know, this is worse than anybody's death, anybody that's done any kind of ill will in the sport of professional wrestling. This is at the all-time low for wrestling. And you know what? Wrestling has now reached rock bottom, and it can't go anywhere
yep.
but up. Well, Max, I appreciate you calling in. You're a fine student, especially with me talking about people that are in the business and doing a little too much before their time. Max, you know,
for
you're
sure.
just now cutting your teeth. You haven't done a whole lot. You're excited for everything you get tossed your way, and I appreciate you as a student, Max. Thanks for calling.
Excellent. Anytime.
Well, we are back on the topic at hand of my thoughts of what is wrong with the sport of professional wrestling. And we have about 8 minutes remaining. The lines are still open for anyone that wants to call in. That number, again, is 516-418-5983. That's the luxury line. Call in, press 1 to chat, and I will throw you on the air. You know, I feel like maybe I'm not clarifying exactly what I'm trying to put out here, what I believe is the problem. I feel like I might have just, you know, beaten around the same subject time and time again. Look, I'm not saying that backyarders are what's wrong with professional wrestling to a certain extent. Like, if you really care about pro wrestling guys, then go find a training school and get trained. It's not hard. Like I said, they're everywhere. I seen the stupidest thing today, actually, on Facebook. I'm glad I said backyard. I literally watched inside of a wrestling ring, and this is why I'm saying this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Some of you may have seen this. I might go back and share the clip on my Facebook page, the Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury Like page, just so you guys could see what I'm talking about. There was a guy selling, or sitting, I should say, because he wasn't really doing much of selling, towards a corner. And another guy across the ring, ref was in one corner, made a triangle. Ref was in one corner. Wrestler was kind of sitting on his butt towards another corner. And there was a burning fire, like an actual fire, like this is dangerous, this will burn your house down fire, on the canvas, lit on the canvas. And a wrestler took what I believe might have been a broomstick or a bat or something, was covered in flames, and the wrestler walked through the flames on fire and swung this foreign object at his opponent, who started raising up, and fire flew everywhere. And, you know, if that's what you guys have to do to try and get a pop, you guys are kind of in the wrong industry. And that goes back to what I'm saying about the lack of training. I mean, I've seen a lot of deathmatch stuff. I'm not bagging on people to do that. That's not my cup of tea. But, you know, there are training schools everywhere, and all you guys got to do is actually do some research. Find a school. If you care about pro wrestling, if you want to call yourself a wrestler, then what you need to do is get properly trained. And actually stick to your guns. Go find a school. Wrestling's not easy. It's hard. But if you want to do it, go through the motions fully and achieve your goals. I have all of my students write down on a homework assignment, write down their goals of what they want to achieve in professional wrestling. And I put them all on the wall, and I want everyone to be able to see them. And I want them to be able to visually check off their goals and see that they're making progress. It's like too many people learn some fundamental basics and know that they can do a flip and a twisty flip and slap their leg on a kick and they get into the business and they get out of training and they get booked on shows and they take money out of the mouths of the people that paved the way for them and actually the students that train correctly. I got another caller calling in. Let's see who it is on the line. You're on the Luxury Suite. How can I help you?
Oh, what's up, Rick? It's good old Cliff Hendricks.
Oh, what's going on, Cliff?
Hey, man. I'm digging everything I'm hearing so far. I just want to contribute to the conversation a little bit, if I may.
Well, go ahead. Forum's open to you.
All right. I think for me personally, I think the main problem lost on wrestling nowadays is the storytelling. You know, I'm all for putting on, you know, five-star classics, you know, 20 minutes of action, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I think a lot of people get caught up in the hype of just the hype of it all. Sometimes a match can, you know, just on names alone can build up the hype for itself, and that can kind of be its downfall. But if done right, any match, no matter if it's the first match on the card or the main event, any match can hold an audience. But a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers get this mindset of, we got to go out there, we got to kill each other. You're going to kick out of my finisher 4 times. I'm going to kick out of your finisher X amount of times, this, that, and the other. And a lot of the story of the match is just, is not there. It's non-existent. They're just
lost in translation.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem is too many people want to concentrate on the moves. Look at what I could do. Look what I could do. I've said it a million times. A trained dog can walk a tightrope and do a backflip on it. A dog, a canine.
Right.
A trained parrot can ride a unicycle on a tightrope and talk to you while doing it and catch a cracker in its beak. Seals can do backflips. Dolphins can do 450s. I've seen orangutans and monkeys do some amazing things just by swinging around. The fact of the matter is, great, you're athletic, you can do a flip, but can you tell a story? I agree with exactly what you're saying. The wrestling business has become too many people that were not trained properly, and this goes back to what I was saying. If you're trained properly, you get the fundamentals, you get the basics, and you get taught how to sell and tell a story. And through that, you could take the basics and fundamentals and walk out and have a 15 to 20 minute match not doing anything crazy. But if you tell a story correctly and you sell, you could draw the people in. Now you could also go put out 2 guys and give them 15 to 20 minutes and let them throw 25 kicks, 9 flips, 6 dive outs, a table spot. The referee jumps over the top rope. A fan super kicks another fan, and it ends with a double down where you tip up, you both do a headstand, you spin on your heads into a missile drop kick to the other guy into a fucking Canadian Destroyer pile driver. And cool, they might react to some of that, but then what's the next match going to do?
Yeah, and that goes back to what you said earlier about wrestling being watered down.
It is. There's too many. Match one does everything. Match one fights on the outside. Match one does dive outs. Match one does a Canadian Destroyer and 12 super kicks, and it kills the rest of the show. Well, Cliff, I got 30 seconds till I'm out of here. Thanks for calling, man. You just added more to exactly what I'm saying, guys. Train. Please go to training. Take care of the sport of professional wrestling. Learn the art of the sell. Learn the art of storytelling, because guess what, guys? If you don't want to just wrestle for 5 years, you're going to want to save your body. You're going to want to learn how to sell. The art of selling, the art of storytelling. Use your fundamentals and your basics. Get a structure. You can go out there without calling and canning everything, guys. It's possible. Just believe in professional wrestling, and it will give back to you. Pro wrestling owes you nothing. You owe pro wrestling everything. So show professional wrestling the respect it deserves and get trained. Ladies and gentlemen, this was my second rendition of the Luxury Suite. Sorry if I rambled a bit, but I go off the hip, guys. I don't write nothing scripted. Thank you to all my callers that called in. The pleasure was all mine. Enjoy yourselves till next week.